back into your hands again. I begin nursing almost at once after going down, on Sunday, June the 27th. It is getting very near now.
We have just taken over some fresh trenches, and so have been busier than usual these last few days. We are about 300 yards from the German lines here, a nice safe distance as regards rifle grenades and such like annoyances, but liable to be shelled much more. There are trees, hedges, and growing corn which prevent one side seeing very much of the other. So much so that the other afternoon I crawled with two men up to within about 70 yards of their trenches, completely hidden in the long grass.
Buxton, 28th of June, 1915. I can honestly say I love nursing, even after only 2 days. It is surprising how things that would be horrid or dull if one had to do them at home quite cease to be so when one is in hospital. Even dusting a ward is an inspiration. The majority of cases are those of people who have got rheumatism resulting from wounds. Very few come straight from the trenches, it is too far, but go to another hospital first. One man in my ward had 6 operations before coming and is still almost helpless. I like all my patients immensely, particularly a sandy-haired lance corporal from the Devon Regiment. I have to get him up every day and bandage his leg. He was wounded in 4 places, each bad. He has been on his back for many months and is likely to be on it many more, but he is always cheerful. I would rather look after Tommies than officers, except one officer. Sometimes I try to imagine he is you, only he is very thin, which does not aid the fancy. 10th of July, 1915. I had a most extraordinary dream the night before last. I thought I was in a vague sort of room, a schoolroom, or an office, but all very indefinite. I knew I was in very great suspense and was waiting for news of some kind. I had not been there long when another person came to the table and said, "He is dead. He has died of wounds in France." Somehow or other, I knew that it was you they were talking about. I shuddered all over with the kind of shock one gets when something happens that one has half expected. And I said, "How do you know? Are you sure?" And he answered, "Yes. It is written down on this paper. The name is here." I unfolded the paper hastily, and there, in unfamiliar but quite ordinary handwriting, I saw the name Donald Neal. How the name came into my head, I cannot tell, as I had known nobody of that name either in life or literature. Whence this long silence, dear? I know, of course, that there is some good reason for it. I am almost afraid to know what. If there is nothing wrong, you'll forgive this selfish anxiety, won't you? As a day or two ago, I picked up the Times and saw heavy fighting between Arras and Armentières. Goodbye, dear. A field service postcard is all I ask.
I'm so very sorry to have made you anxious about me, but I hope you have got a letter by now. The difficulty is not so much to find time to write as to get letters sent off. When we are on the move south, as we have been so much lately, the postal service is temporarily stopped, and we cannot either send or receive any letters for perhaps a week.
Buxton, 24th of July, 1915. I think Edward is coming here for a fairly long leave in a week or two, possibly the last. Mother wants him and me to have a snapshot taken together. I say, as a typical example of two people, one at any rate for the first time in her life, who are doing just what other people think they ought. If we have it done, you shall have one. My uniform suits me rather better now than in that photo I sent you. It has grown to me more, and I to it. I no longer feel strange or uncomfortable in it, and I don't think it is really unbecoming.
France, 2nd of August, 1915. Dear child, I've always liked this name for you, though I ought not to call you child, ought I? Thank you so much for the Rupert Brooke. It came this morning, and I've just read it straight through. It makes me feel as if I want to sit down and write things myself instead of doing what I have to do here. It stirs up the old, forgotten things and makes me so, so angry and impatient with most of the soulless non-entities one finds around here. I used to talk of the beauty of war, but it is only war in the abstract that is beautiful. Modern warfare is merely a trade, and it is a matter of taste whether one is a soldier or a greengrocer, as far as I can see. Sometimes, by dint of an opportunity, a single man may...